Okay, thank you guys so much for joining. So wonderful to see all these beautiful shining faces. Thank you guys. Ah, a privilege, a schus, a yichud, amazing thing. All of us are connecting from all around the world. Unbelievable, mamish, unbelievable. So thank you for joining. And I hope everybody's doing well. B'siyata d'shmaya, having a great week. Let us jump into it. I'm gonna share my screen here. So we can see Sichas Aran 61. Okay. Sichas Aran Samach Aleph. This is where we're holding. We're going to jump in. And this we need Siyata D'Shmaya for. Because I just in preparing for the shiur this morning, looking at this piece, I realized it said a little bit more than I thought it said the first time or times around Sichas Aran, which is Baruch Hashem, you know, you always pick up on further nuances. But we need Siyata D'Shmaya together to really crack open every word and to really hear what he's saying. I think it's very deep. And Be'ezra Hashem, throughout the course of the shir, we're going to see this piece, of course, from the Rebbe Sicha Saran. We're also going to take a look at a teaching from Kedushas Levi, from the Berditchever, as well as an amazing, amazing piece from the Piasetzna Rebbe. The Eish Kodesh, the Chavis HaTamidim, in his Sefer Derech HaMelech, Be'ezer Hashem. So that's really going to be what I really want to get to ultimately. But let's begin at the beginning with the Rebbe's incredible teaching in Sichas Aran Samach Aleph. And the Rebbe says like this, Inyan Hajre B. What does this mean, Hajra B? Hanemar B'Gemara, you find in the Gemara from time to time, this idea of Hajre B, where one of the Amiraim, who had a certain hanhaga or held a certain opinion, we find in Hilchas Shabbos with regard to Tchum and other areas as well. And then that opinion is challenged. And in response, the Amora says, Hadrabi. He says, okay, I recant, I take it back. Hadar, like to take, like something going back, Hadar to return. Hadrabi. He says, I'm recanting my opinion. I won't do that anymore. I'm not going to carry on with that on Hagung. You find this, it's brought in the Sichas Aran on the bottom. They bring in the notes. How many times in Shas? A bunch of times, 6, 7 times. You find this concept of Hadrabi. Says the Rebbe, of course, on a certain level, on a simple level, it's talking about the recanting of an opinion. Hadrabi, I will return from that position. And I will move away from it. I will distance myself. And now I'll do something else. That's true. That's what it means. I'll be pshat. But the Rebbe says, I want you to know that Hadrei B is also b'chin of tshuva. It's an aspect of tshuva. Because hadar in Aramaic means, again, to return. And in as much as you're returning, so then you're not only returning from a halachic position or an opinion that you may have held, but it's an aspect of returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hadrei B. And all of us, in our lives, we have this experience of Hadrei B, which we'll see in a minute what that is. Sheshav b'tshuva al shepagam b'toira. In this specific circumstance, we're referring to an Amora who seems to have held a position that was a blemish in the Torah. He held something that wasn't aligned with the MS. And so, kipshutai, Hadrei B means he's doing tshuva for that. So it's not only that the person is recanting from his position, which, like we said, I'll be pshat, that's what it means. He says it's deeper. He says there actually has to be an aspect of tshuva, hadri bi. It's as if the Amora is saying, I need to do tshuva for having held a position that wasn't aligned in accordance with the objective emes. Hadri bi. So he says, v'tekef u'miyad shehiksha oisai chaveroi. Once his position was challenged by another one of the Talmidei Chachamim in the Beis Medrash, he understood that he had made an error, and he immediately did tshuva. And that's what he meant when he said, Hadrei B, not just that, okay, I take it back, but I take me back. Hadrei B, I must go ahead and do tshuva. It's not a hadar, you know, from misvarasi, let's say, from my position. Hadrei B, there's the aspect not only of recanting his position, but to return legamre in an aspect of tshuva for having said such a thing that was challengeable al pi halacha. Neshav b'tshuva miyad. That's what the Rebbe says. Then he goes one step further. Because up until now, we're learning that Hadrei B has two levels. Number one is apipshat, the article translation. What it literally means is I recant, I take it back. Then the Rebbe said from the word be, it doesn't just mean I take it back, but it means I take myself back, meaning I need to do tshuva from having held this position. Now the Rebbe adds a third level. V'zebechinas hadri bi. Not only that right now I'm going ahead and doing tshuva, hadri bi. But hainusha tshuva haisa bi mitchila. This experience, and we're going to talk about what this means in a minute, this experience is actually a revelation of the fact that I had tshuva in me all along. Hadre bi, long before I actualized it in this moment, given this opportunity of becoming starkly aware of how much I lack, really haisa bi mitchila. Hadra B, it was always in me. The Rebbe says that this koyach of tshuva, this power, it was only in potential. But va'ata, at this moment in time, yotza lefaya. Now I'm able to go ahead and I'm able to actualize it. I'm able to bring it from potential to actuality. And here the Rebbe continues and explains. And again, I want to thank all of you for being here, for keeping me company in foggy London. It's a gewalt. And I need it so badly. So thank you guys, Mamish, for keeping me warm. So he says, ki yesh tshuva shuba koyach. He says, there's a tshuva that's in potential. Va'adayin lo yotza lepoil, and it never comes out. That each and every person's walking around, and we're going to learn from the Piasetzer something so deep. Each of us are walking around with like a seed, a kernel of tshuva that just maybe hasn't been planted yet. Or if it's been planted, hasn't taken root. Or if it's taken root, hasn't begun to sprout. But we have tshuva inside. It's an impulse. It's baked into the essence of the Jewish experience. But adayin lo yotza lepoyal, it has not yet manifested in a way of actuality. U'bishvil zeh, adam masig l'va'amim l'mala mimadrigasa, he says the Rebbe. This is why, from time to time, a person will have an experience of a great light that's beyond him or that's beyond her. Pitom, all of a sudden, will have this incredible burst of illumination that comes from a realm mamish beyond. But it's so far beyond us that it succeeds in highlighting for us just how far we are. So he says, "Ubishvilza adam masig lefa'amim lemalam imadrigasa mashe'enoi roi lazeh," that the person will have an experience of something that's really beyond that person. For what purpose? Who k'deisha teitzei hatshuva mikoyach elapoyal k'niskel el? For the purpose of shaking the person up in his entirety, to then realize, wow, I really lack, and it's really time for me to really start to put the pedal to the metal in my spiritual growth and really put the focus on trying to strive and to make strides in my Yiddishkeit. And the Rebbe finishes, ki al yedei shehisig l'mala mimadrigasai, from this that the person had a very elevated perception beyond his madrega, al yedei zeh pagam leimar shaloi ke'inyan. It seems, again, this is already parshanut, I don't really know what he means exactly. But the way that I'm reading it, I think maybe this is what it means, that he had no kalim for it. So it was because of this incredible hasaga that came from so far beyond him that he had no kalim for, he had no vessel for that, he wasn't holding by that madriga, it led to a shvira, led to a shattering. Memela, he misinterpreted what that great light was. He said something off, and that saying something off opened the door for his friend to step in and point out that blemish, which then led to the aspect of Hadra B. Not only am I recanting my position, and not only am I doing tshuva for what I had said, but this now allows for the revelation that Hadra B, that tshuva was always in me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Amayra, again on his level, but it's true for all of us, leads us into circumstances which seem to lift us up to the very height at Ruma Shamayim, only to slam us to the ground. But it's all an exercise in coming to the awareness of how much we lack, how much we need. Memela retroactively is able to say, whoa, if this is what happened to me, then it must be Hadra B. It must be that I had tshuva inside of me. And this experience of tshuva inside needed this revelation in this shocking way so that there would be an opening where I could look it straight in the face and look my lack in the face in a way that I couldn't have without having this strange experience of an illumination that comes from beyond, that shakes me up so deeply that now I say, okay, Hajrabi, I have to do tshuva. I have to actualize the hidden potential tshuva within me. So he says, just to read again, it was because this Amira was taka able to reach such a very lofty level in this moment. This leads to a shvira, to a breaking, and it leads to saying something that wasn't appropriate, at least in this context, in this case. So then his friend points it out. And he understands immediately, okay, this was a gift min hashamayim. That now I'm able to realize that it's a far bigger problem than just having said something that wasn't ke'inyan. This experience lets me know that there's a lot more inside of me that needs to come to manifestation. I'm not there just yet. Nimsa, we find through this experience, yatzah tshuva mikoyach el apoyal. This allowed for the revelation of tshuva that was first in potential, the aspect of hadra b, I had tshuva, but it was hidden inside of me. It's now able to manifest in the aspect of poyel, which is actuality. And that's the secret of hadra b. All of us have somewhere deep inside the readiness to return. But sometimes it's not clear to us exactly what we need to return for. And that itself is a very high madrega. You know, I walk around the whole day knowing exactly what I need to fix. I'm sure some of us here too. But sometimes we're not in that zone, right? Sometimes, let's say. Sometimes we're not. We're not in that moichin. We're not connected to that line of energy. And all of a sudden, we mamish think we're having an aliyah, like a big nekuda. But then therein lies the awareness that there's dissonance, that we're not mamish connecting. And it becomes clear to us, wow, okay, there's something lacking here. And then that lack becomes the Pesach, the doorway into the world of tshuva that we hold within, allowing that to come to manifestation. So it's as if, on the one hand, this Amira thought that he was striving for a very great height or experiencing a very great light. And in the meantime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a completely different plan, that it was really not about the ceiling that you're trying to strive for, but it was about the floor, right? It was about a completely different experience of tshuva, that was the real reason that, you know, that you had this experience. That's what Rabbi Nachman says, the secret of Hadrei B, the secret of tshuva in potential, and then through this kind of experience, being able to bring the tshuva into actuality. Says the B'ditch of Arav, in Kedusha Slevi, Parshas Kisetzin. This is just the beginning of a little bit of a longer piece, but the end of the piece is really just like a remez in a pasuk of Shlach HaKan, so just to bring the beginning. So I want to get to the Eish Kodesh. Might have a little bit of a shorter shir, because it's just a shorter inyan. Okay, so he says like this, Kfar Noidat's known. She Yishbeis His Oirus. There are two kinds of awakening. Two kinds of awakening. Lehit orer, right, to awaken, his oirus, right? This kind of spiritual awakening. The word orer, which means to wake up, is also, the Svarim say, connected to the concept of nar. The word nar means a youth, a lad, right, a child. But the word nar is really lina'er, is to shake, is to move. And that's what a nar is. It's constantly moving from place to place. There's fire, there's movement, there's energy inside. So I once heard from one of the tzaddikim that Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh doesn't simply mean Jerusalem, the holy city, but it could also mean Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. It's the city that wakes up the holiness inside of you. Ir HaKodesh, it awakens the Kedusha that we have within. Hadra B, right? That aspect of Nar, that aspect of connecting to the youth, that's still pure, that's innocent, that's connected to the shayrish, the essence of tshuva. So the B'ditchver says there are two kinds of isayrus, there are two kinds of awakenings. There are two kinds of experience of that narus, the kedusha that we have within. Hisayrus de la elav, hisayrus de la sat. There's an awakening from above, beyond our accomplishment, beyond what we work for to attain. It just comes as a gift. And there's a Isayris de Lasata. And then there's an awakening from below, that which is in accordance with our efforts. And he says, Ve'ein adam rashai lismich atzmei al Isayris de la'ela. A person is not allowed to rely on the Isayris de la'ela, on the upper awakening. You cannot wait. By trusting that one day Hashem will shake me awake. One day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put me in a situation where I don't have a choice and I mamash have to turn my life around. He says, Rakle, Hanis miyagia chapai. Chapai, the most important thing is to try to take matters into our own hands in this case, to wake ourselves up, to shake ourselves awake. Lis oir me atzmai, to find a way of inspiring ourselves. And not to wait for a great moment, or not to wait for a great spiritual opportunity, and not to push things off. And for example, we know that in a few weeks, a big tzaddik's coming to town. Okay, then I'll have my Cyrus and I'll just wait around. He says, mamish na, because every moment is a moment that's forever. Every moment, this is life. There's no such thing. A Jew is never waiting for tomorrow. What do you mean you're waiting for tomorrow? Time is an illusion. There is no tomorrow. There is no today. There's just the moment. That's life. Life is just now. So there's no inyan of okay, but you know, five minutes. Because who says there's going to be 5 minutes? You never, ever know. Now, Be'ezer Hashem, we should all live long and happy till 120 and have many, many, many moments again and again and again forever and ever. But how do we know about this nekuda of a minute? It's just now. That's all there is. It's just this moment. And so he says, there's no ability for us to push it off, to wait. We have to try to utilize this moment to find some way to wake ourselves up. And then we create a vessel for that spiritual illumination to descend from the realm beyond, from the world above. But then it's in its fitting, proper process. Starts with our avoda. Then we make space for Hashem to come down into our lives. The pasuk, the Zohar Kodesh says, Hashem gives wisdom to those who are already wise. When we reach the level of chacham, ubebchinas chacham kvar, so then az Hashem yizbarach yahiv chachmasa chachma. Kodesh Baruch Hu adds on to what we've already begun to work on. V'shaleach leYisrael se'elyon, and Hashem sends this heavenly awakening. Amnam, however, kishatina katan, when a child is very young. So then ha'im tzrichim lahatis atzmalatina shiyanik. So then the mother can't wait for the child to latch on because he chaps what's going on and he understands where to put his mouth. He says the mother has to do all the work in order so that the baby should nurse. So he says in the same way, as Hashem Yisbarach, Kain Hashem Yisbarach, she'ein la'adam seichel klal, when a person is in a state where they have a foundation, they have no foothold, they don't know where to begin. He doesn't even know how to start. So then bless Breira, right? Hashem has no other choice. He has to wake you up. He has to wake me up. So Hashem sends down this barak, this flash of spiritual illumination from the heavens above. But that's not the way that it's supposed to be. The Bedichver says the lechatchila is for us to really wake up in the morning, and even if we have no hisoris, to find a way through different kinds of avodas, through different kinds of perspectives, to get ourselves into it. Rabbi Nachman says, we're going to learn later in Sichas Aran, he says, just like you find a person who knows how to work himself up into a tantrum, even if it's a small little thing, but the person really is just focusing on the injustice again and again to the point, wait a second, no, but this is really bad what happened to me. This is terrible. And he gets himself like super angry. The Rabbi says, you can do that in Ruchnias also. Ashrei Yoshev Visecha. Whoa, I get to sit. What does Yeshiva mean? What's Besecha? What does that mean? Ashrei, what does it mean to be fortunate? And you can repeat the pasuk like we learned a few weeks ago, last week, about repeating one pasuk again and again and again in your mind, right? In order to uncover the secret depth in there, right? And your chelik in the Torah, do the same thing with tefillah. You could work your way up. You could even if you don't have it. The same way a person, he says, mamash, a person works themselves up into a tantrum, you can work yourself up into a holy storm of spirituality. Mamash, a storm. And tenua chitzonis ma'ireres hapnimis, we know. External actions wake up the inside. So you could try very much to move your hands during davening and make movements, hand motions, like we've learned previously in Sichas Ran. Rabbi Nachman says how wonderful it is for a Jew to pour out his or her heart before Hashem. He says with hand motions, mamash like you're speaking to someone that you're really begging from. Use your hands. And it's not exaggerated. You understand? A lot of people think, well, it's not realistic because I don't really do that when I'm speaking to somebody else. The truth is you do that. You do. It's just that our relationships with other people have become so understated, have become so enwrapped with busha and with a measured kind of expression that we don't really express the full depth of our expression to other people. So if we're asking something, it really should be to be a pleading, a beseeching. And if you should be in a situation, which you should never be, where you have to beseech from someone, like something really important, or really beg that you needed was nachutz, then hopefully your hands would awaken, because that's the natural thing, that's the normal thing. And so at least in the context of Hashem, let's be for real. You know, it says there was a story with the Baal Shem HaKadosh, that he heard some Jews that were laughing in a shul at a yid who was doing this, and it was davening Shemana Esrei with his hands, and he was moving hand motions, and they were laughing at him. So the Baal Shem Tov took, he was makbid, and he went over afterwards to them, and he said, I don't understand you. He says, if you were to walk past a lake, and you would see a person drowning, and you would see their hands flailing above the water like this, you'd stand there and laugh. He says, of course not. You'd realize the person's mamish. He's calling for someone to save his life. He's in a dire, dire state. He says, you're only laughing because you've never experienced a tefillah where you felt that your whole life depended on that tefillah. He says, this Jew who was davening, waving his hands, he was drowning in a lake, and he's calling out for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him. Not just with his voice, with his words, with his thoughts, with his kavanah, with his whole body, the way that Rabbi Akiva is described in the Gemara, he would daven starting in one end of the room, he would end up in the other end of the room. And we have Mamish testimony about the way that Rabbi Levi Yitzchak used to daven. He used to roll under the tables and you know, jump from chair to chair. It's like, mimalu mi'ever. So that's how davening could be. That's Mamish how davening could be. And so ultimately that itself, tnuach chitzonis, ma'ireres hapnimis, that could be a good eitzah to wake yourself up, get into it, you know, move, even if you're not feeling it, specifically because you're not feeling it. How do you wake up someone who's sleeping? You shake them. So imani yeshena, I know that libi er. So then in as much as libi er, and I know what I want, even though I don't want it, but I want to want it, so then I'm in control of my body. So get moving. You could jump a little bit. You could shake. You could stand on your tippy toes. You could get into it a little bit. And then you'll see somehow something inside starts to wake up. He says, that's really the ideal. When we don't have koyach for that, mamish, we don't have koyach for that. And we've lost touch with even wanting to want, which happens sometimes. And wanting to want is very hard already, you know, to awaken that nekuda. I want that I should want to want. It's very distant. So then a person, mamish, enters the aspect of bittul. And then we look up at the God that sometimes we feel we don't believe in. And we say, Rabbanu Shel Olam, I'm having trouble believing in you today. Can you throw me a rope? You know, I just have no kayach. So then he says, mamish, like a mother will turn herself toward the infant to help the infant nurse, and not waiting for the infant to figure it out. See, he says, that way Hashem is sending us just free, just a freebie from above. But the lechatchila is to try to wake this up ourselves. With Dan, he says, Shekasav HaTaz v'Shulchan Aruch Simen Aleph, that the Taz says, it's really not the Taz brings it, but it's really a Medrash. It's a Medrash Tehillim. That the Taz brings, based on the Pasuk, where David HaMelech says, A'ira Shachar, I shall wake up in the morning, that's Pashav Shad, A'ira, I wake up Shachar. But the Medrash says, no, it doesn't mean that David HaMelech woke up in the morning. He woke up the morning. He woke up before the morning, and he, mamish, brought morning to the world. David HaMelech is a ira shachar, and of course, Avi Pnimius, Mashiach ben David, who comes from David HaMelech, right? Mashiach, David Malka Mashiacha, is a ira shachar. He wakes up the great morning to come, about which the Pasuk tells us, Vayavik ishimai ad alois ha-shachar, is talking about Mashiach, says the Chinuch in Mitzvah Gimel. Ad alois ha-shachar. So David HaMelech is the ira shachar. David HaMelech was waking up the world. David HaMelech, the Bechina of Bittel. David HaMelech, the aspect of Tefillah. David HaMelech, the aspect of Samalach HaNafshi, the longing, the yearning. That's the Irish Shal Mashiach. That's what we're feeling, the Yidden in our generation. And we have to awaken that within people. People are so thirsty that they don't even know they're thirsty. They're so thirsty. You know, it's hard sometimes. It's mamish that it's a certain clip of just I'm okay. And that okayness is the deepest darkness. Because not only are you not okay, you're so not okay that you think you're okay. It's the worst. Because halavai that everyone should be walking up, you know, in the world so thirsty all the time. I don't mean for water, right? Loit samal al mayim, akiyim l'shmoyel edvar Hashem. Halavai, we should feel a thirst. Not that I'm okay. I'm happy with my Yiddishkeit. I have my dafyomi shir. I have my davening. I'm happy. Everything's fine. I'm checking all the boxes. It's not enough. It's not enough. And I'm speaking to myself. It's not enough. It's not enough. A Jew, of course, we have to have our Seder, and we have to try as much as we can to have consistency. But within all of that, a Jew can never close a Gemara and say, okay, good. There has to be a desperate yearning constantly, not debilitating, you know, not to discourage us, adarabah, to encourage us so that any spare minute I have, I need to open the Gemara again. Because it's not enough that I did, what do you mean? I learned to know, I had my Seder in the morning. But that's not the Nakuda. The Nakuda is that I can't live without learning. I can't live without it. But see my own. That's Mamish, the Ar of Mashiach. So he says over here, that's the Inan of the Taza, Ira Shachar. Sheehu ma'ayr ha-shachar, v'loya ha-shachar ma'ayr ha-soy. Let the person wake up the dawn, and let not the dawn wake him up. Ratzalaymar, meaning to say, in Ruchnias, in the aspect of tshuva, sheyehu ma'oyer al yedei atzmai hashachar. The lechatchila is that we can find a way to awaken ourselves to tshuva. And it was oyeris elyon, right? To wake up that shachar, that great morning, that dawn of spirituality. V'loy hashachar ma'oyer isai. And not that the morning should wake him up, right? Ayin sham, right? So to speak. So that's this nekuda over here that we're learning. That's the ultimate goal. The lechatchila is we can find a way to wake ourselves up. Because all of us have a hadra bi. All of us have that deep yearning inside. It's tshuva in potential. It's there already. It's nothing we need to earn. It's built into the DNA. But the question is, how's it going to come to potential? Is it going to come to potential because HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges this kind of thing where, you know, milamala, just mila'ela, it's a flash that's beyond, and then we feel distant from it, and or we make a mistake because it's such a great light, and then somebody needs to point out that we're doing something wrong, and then we realize, wow, you're talking right, you know, like they're ever described. Or is it something that we could jumpstart? Is it something that we could work ourselves into this holy, you know, tantrum, as it were, of Ruchnius? That's just good to know the Berditchever. There are really two stages. One is Bidiyeved, one is not the ideal, and the other being Lichatchila. Let's take a look at the Pius Setzner, the Heilige Chavis HaTalmidim, whose Sefer Achsharas Avreichim, I really would love to learn with you. I really, really would love to learn that Sefer with you. It's mamish, exactly what we need today. Exactly. It's one of the most unique, in my just limited experience, mamish one of the most unique of all the Svarim HaKadoshim. If you've gotten to look at it, maybe we'll think of a time. We'll see. I would just love to learn that with you. Okay, so, but the Heilige Derech HaMelech, who, you know, mamish is the Rebbe of our generation, is mamish the Rebbe of our generation until Mashiach comes, you know, along with so many other tzaddikim, but there's not that many. It's not so many other. There are a handful of tzaddikim that really spoke to us. And the Pius Setzner is Barosha. So he writes over here, let's get into this piece. Derech HaMelech is a collection of his longer discourses on the Parsha before the war. So they're very long and they're a little bit complicated. And this is from this week's Parsha, Chai Sarah, the third shtickle. So he says like this, Va'atshuvi la b'chinas binahi. He says, tshuva ila, the elevated, lofty kind of tshuva, the ideal tshuva. Is bechinas binahi. It's an aspect of bina. The spiritual light, that comes beyond the world being the lower seven spheros, the lower seven spiritual energies with which the whole world is created. That's why, again, like we always say, that's what there are 7 days of the week, and seven colors, and seven musical notes, and seven planets, and seven oceans, and continents, and metals, and so on and so forth. Everything in the physical world is seven. Bina is one beyond. Oilam chesed yibane. This world begins with chesed. Chesed being the energy after bina. But the word yibane, like we've mentioned in a recent shir, is oisiyos bina, because chesed emerges from bina. Oilam chesed yibane. There's an interface between chesed, which is the beginning of the physical world, as it kisses that realm of beyond, which is called olam haba, which is the realm of bina, the realm of deep understanding, the realm of the thought, in the divine sense, that served as the blueprint for the creation of the physical world. That's hidden, just like our brain is hidden in our skull. You can't see it, but you can see the arms and the legs, the klei hamaisa. So too, that realm of bina is hidden. It's the spiritual realm, the realm of eight, the realm of nisim, the realm of Chanukah, the realm of yovel, freedom, of kibbutz galus, connected to the concept of shofar, and so on and so forth. Okay, the realm of bina. What does it have to do with tshuva? Ki noida, it's known, shebebina mascheles iskalas habria, that bina is the beginning, dawn of the unfolding of creation. Iskalas habria, the beginning, that creation begins to become revealed, starts from bina. Shei b'chinas bereishis bara elokim, in the beginning, Elokim created, which the Zohar Kaddish says in the Akdama to the Zohar Kaddish, he says that shame Elokim is a reference to bina. Bara Elokim, bina is also associated, for those familiar, with the world of Berea. And so Bara Elokim, Elokim being bina, because that's the name that's associated with bina. Well, it's associated with bina, and it's also Yud Kei Vav Kei with the Nekudas of Elokim is bina. So Elokim, Midas Adin, that has what to do with bina, which is on the left side. Not getting into all the details now, but at Al Kopanim, Peresh is Bara Elokim, it's associated with bina. Shehashem Elokim, he mi ele. And that very name Elokim is a composite of two words, mi, who, and then ele, which is these, which themselves show up in a pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, Su'u mare menechem, lift your eyes on high to the spiritual realm, u'ru'u, and see mi bara ele. Which literally means, see, who created these? Mi bara ele. But the deepest thing in the world is that this world of disparity, of separateness, of multiplicity, is a b'china of ele. It's all of these things. Ele lehecha Yisrael, it says, right, by the eagle. Ele, this whole world is the in of ele. Dark, it's avodah zara, it's separate from Hashem, it seems to be. Ele, which is the hepech of Hashem Echad. It's just Eile. But the me, who is responsible for all of these, that's the side of Hashem Echad. That's the side of the Creator. So look up, look away, says Yeshayahu HaNavi. Look away from the world. Su'umarim enechem. Look beyond what you can see, just looking straight. And uru'u, you'll find me, bara Eile. You'll find the one Creator who, by virtue of realizing that he created all of this stuff, that unifies the Eila, because it's all the product of one, of me. That's the yichud of me bar Eila. And the Svar Makdashim say that if you take the letter, the word me, and you put it together with Eila, that's Elokim, which of course is gematria, hateva, nature. But it's mamish, the godliness that suffuses nature with the light of oneness. Me bara Eila. And so that's Bereshis bara Elokim. What's me? Me, he says, is gematria 50. Mem and Yud is 50. What's 50? 50 gates of Bina. So this is a reference to the realm of unity beyond the physical world, which is the world of seven. It's the one beyond seven. In the terminology of Yom Kippur, it's achas, achas lamala, achas lamata, achas ushtayim, achas ushalish, achas arba, until you get to achas v'sheva. There's the realm of seven, which is the realm of Eile, all of these, and then there's the achas, one above, seven below. There's the realm of achas lamala. That's the realm of bina. Mi bara ele. Oylam anister. Shebala reishis iskala shekayim al kapanim l'sheela. bara. It's this hidden realm that all we could do is ask about it. We have no asaga in it. Me, bara, that's what created this world. Olam, mi bara eile. Olam hanigla, the revealed world, which we can see. So he says, la now. He says, in accordance with what he had already brought, this is part of a very, very gigantic piece. That the essence of the world is the aspect of bina, of tshuva. The whole concept of tshuva is to renew that which didn't exist. Starting from scratch, to begin a new moment, to begin a new phase, to begin something fresh. So he says, that's the bechina of bina that comes before the world. Tshuva kadma la'olam. The element of tshuva renews. It starts something fresh. V'hamidrash aymar shabana ilamayis v'hichrivan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built worlds, he destroyed them. Dein hanyin li, yasein loy hanyin li. These worlds, he says, that I destroyed, I'm not interested in them. These worlds I am interested in. There was a process. And he says, it's true that this is a reference to the Kabbalistic secret of the shattering of the vessels. I'm not getting into that now. So we're not going to speak about that now. So he says, really, there are two kinds of tshuva. Tshuva shel oyved. He says, first, there's the tshuva of the person that's, so to speak, already serving Hashem, who doesn't need to do tshuva on the simple, classical level of returning, of staying away from Averis and beginning to walk in a straight path. He says, no, this kind of tshuva, sha'av shegamad ata toiv hoyim, it was good. He was already doing what was proper. Mikamakam yuchal loymar loy dai likach. He can say, it's not enough. He has the tzima'on. He has the tzimah, is the aspect of David HaMelech, who was the Baal Tshuva, right? And David HaMelech's whole story was this. He's a consistent yearning, state of consistent thirst. Loi dai likach. Muchrach ani lohoisev v'la avad mechadash. I need to have the spirit of Hischatshus, which in Breslov is so big, it's so strong, because really Hischatshus is like, it's the contrasting element, or it's the element that distinguishes between one kind of Jew and another kind of Jew, is chanshus. The question is not if you're doing everything right. That's not the question. And if you are, matoiv manoim, and it's fantastic. The question is if your heart is on fire. That's the question. Not if you can manage to toe the straight and narrow and check the boxes. But Avodas Hashem needs to be like a passionate romance. It needs to be stormy. It needs to come from so deep inside. Rachmana liba boy. Hamamish Hashem wants your heart with all of what that means. This deep thirst, someone nafshi lelekim, not to do more. I'm already maybe doing every. Let's say a person is doing everything they can. That still doesn't. That has no connection with the tzimaon. These two things. It's not. This is unquenchable thirst. It's a desperate, desperate thirst. It's the kind of thirst that even though you have date night, let's say once a week. So you checked it off the list? No. Hopefully, mamash, no matter how much time you spend with your spouse, no matter how much time you spend with our children, no matter how much time we spend with our loved ones, even if we spend all the time in the world with them, we can sense, but there's something deeper here. I want to get to know you better. I want to connect with you even more deeply. That's called a relationship. That's different than religion. Yiddishkeit is not religion. Yiddishkeit is a relationship. It's really what it is. So this kind of person is tshuva number one. Loi dai likach, muchrach ani lahoisif, v'la'avad mechadash, I need to mamash start again. V'hu bria ha'alef. This is the aspect of the world being created in the first place. Mamash, that's bria ha'alef, one kind of creation. She'av she'gam koidim bria so'elam ha'kol toivaya. Right? Everything was fine. Hashem wasn't doing kiviyachot tshuva from anything. The first creation, everything was good, everything was God, everything was good. Hashem chose to create the world. This is the kind of tshuva, bina, mi bara eila, the creative, artistic force of creativity that's fresh, that's new, that's creationist, that happens while everything is already okay. But mikol makom bara v'chidush ha'olam, even so, there's a creation. Ava gam l'chayte bara tshuva. He says, this is also true for the sinner. Bara tshuva, there's the ability, even after things have already been broken, to still do tshuva, you can completely nullify the past. And to connect to the realm of Bina, Bina being the place of creation, Bina being the waters of renewal, Bina being the mikvah, the womb from which you emerge fresh, new, tinak chanoiladami, brand new. Zeloi toiv, rakzeh. Where you can point at what was and said that wasn't good. This is good. Rakzeh. That's what it means that Hashem created worlds and then destroyed them and created new worlds. That's the second kind of tshuva of a person who's broken some things, but he's able to refresh. Yasin loy hanyan, to say those worlds I had to destroy, to get rid of, the dein hanyan, but these worlds I'm connecting with. Now here he mamish says the deepest thing. It blew my mind. I'm telling you, I could not believe to read these words. Listen to this. Yisoid kol ha'olam hi tshuva. Like we've been learning, the foundation for the entire creation, which is Bina, is Tshuva. Mi bara elin. V'gam ha'chet yisoidoi koyach ha'tshuva hu. Unbelievable. He says the sin is itself powered, sponsored by Tshuva. The sin itself, Tshuva mikukeles. It's the energy of Tshuva, and as he's going to explain why in a minute, because it sounds like a shocking, radical thing to say. Like a counterintuitive thing to say, he's going to explain. It's tshuva mekukeles. It's tshuva that comes from a distorted place, which means, but if this person wouldn't have the aspect of hadra b, if you wouldn't have tshuva in potential inside of him, he would never have the ability to disengage from his essential goodness and holiness and move to a new path. That's what a sin is. Nobody starts off sinning. Means to say that there's a place that's rooted in Kedusha inside. That's Asa Likimasa Adam Yashar. That's the essential holiness that we have inside. Then a person goes and does a chet. Where did he get the energy to let go of one thing and hold on to another thing? Tshuva. Because that's what tshuva is. Tshuva gives me the ability to stop holding on to one lane of energy in my life and to begin to get involved in something else. The only reason that the human being can do that is because we have built into ourselves the capacity to utilize that kind of energy if we should step off. But the stepping off is itself an expression, even albeit in a mekukal way, in a distorted way, of this tshuva. Amazing thing. Rakivan sheboy koyach ha-tshuva nimtza. He has the koyach of tshuva inside of him. Kilkeles ha-koyach hazeh v'hav chilera. So he took this otherwise holy energy of being able to start fresh, the koyach of renewal, which was supposed to be used maybe even in an ideal setting for the Oyved who didn't break anything that now he needs to fix again. It's just like Kodesh Baruch Hu creating the world for the first time around, to keep on growing, to keep on moving, to keep on pushing higher and stronger and more exalted and growing. And he, hafchilera, he had this koyach of ischadshus in a way of tumah. Loi toiv loi derech hatoiv shall ad ata rak hara. And he made the decision that I need a schachus in my life. What am I going to do? I'm going to let go of the derech hatoiv that's baked into me in my essence. And I'm going to hold on to a different derech. That's called tshuva mekukeles. Even though it's not tshuva to return, because that's not where you started, but it's the koyach of creativity, lara. It's the koyach of a schachus, lara, rachman al-etzlan. So he says that's pshat on the pasuk that we're all familiar with, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Where Miyaser, where he cries out, Shuvu banim shayvavim, return my wayward children. Now the word shayvavim is translated as wayward. But he says, really the truth is, it's a pretty similar word to tshuva itself. Shuvu banim shayvavim. It really sounds like he's saying, return my returning children. Or do tshuva, those of you who are already holding on to tshuva. How so? When he said return, who is he speaking to? L'chaitim aymrim. He was speaking to the chaitim, and he didn't mean to you know, bash them over the heads and to say, oh, you're straying and you're distant and you're wayward. No, he meant to give them chizuk, an incredible chizuk. But Amalehem, and he said to them, I want you to know, banim, my children, shuvu, return, because shivavim, because lo yikol kach kasha lechem lashuv. It can't be that difficult for you to do tshuva. Why? Ki gam ata atem b'tshuva. Because right now, persisting in this new path that you've taken, and it is always a new path, the path of chet, it's never something that's essential. You already have it in you. You see that you could change. And don't tell me, this is the deepest thing, don't tell me that it's too hard for me to change. Because look, I'm already entrenched in my ways. These are not your ways. These are not your ways. The only reason that you held on to this way is because you have it in you to break away from something and to hold on to something else, because you're Kadosh, Veshimcha Kadosh, Ukadosh Mechol Yom Yaladu Chasela, Yaladu Chasela, you're a Chelik Alikamimal. Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Brurim, Mamesh, there's no such thing. There's no such thing that you started off this way. Do you hear the chizuk? It's a double chizuk. It's unbelievable. The chizuk is, don't tell me that you don't have the energy, that you cannot do tshuva. A, you have the koyach of tshuva in you already, hadra B, in potential. And how do I know that? Because this path that you think you're on is not your path. That path is already secondary. It's already something that you had to utilize your koyach of tshuva to let go of your essential self, of asa likimas adam yashar, to hold on to something foreign. The aim of bikshu cheshbonis rabim, of machshav zaris, the foreign fields. So mamela, not only do you have the koyach of doing tshuva, it's going to be the most simple thing in the world. Because it's not as if you have to twist yourself now into an unnatural pretzel of spirituality. It's returning home. Shuvu banim, shuvavim, shuvavim. You're already in this inyan of letting go of one thing and holding on to the other. Come home, banim. It's mamash a different way of reading it. Shuvu banim, shuvavim. Loi kol kach kasha lechem lashuv. Ki gam ata atem b'tshuva. You already have the energy of tshuva pulsing through you. Gam b'chata eichem b'tshuva atem. Even in your sins, it's already the energy of tshuva. Amazing thing. Tshuva mekukeles in a chanami. It's been used in a wayward way. Shuvu banim shivavim. Shigam ata shivavim b'tshuva. Even now, you're wandering, you're distanced. It's all founded on the energy of return. It's all founded on this ability to let go of something, to start something fresh, to start anew, to start again. And don't tell me I'm not getting it out clear. Don't tell me that you've never done such a thing, because right now you're doing such a thing. Don't tell me you're so entrenched in this natural experience of chet, because it's not natural. You see, it's two birds with one stone. It's not natural. And you see that you have the koyach of returning. So you might mamash do it. He's giving them koyach here. He's not yelling at them. He's giving them so much strength. Shuvu banim, shuvavim. Imkein rak lahafoich es tshuva mekukeles l'toiva. Aleichem lasos. That's all you have to do, and you can do it. You can accomplish it. I read this piece, and I was mamash thinking, Hadrabi. What a chizuk. Sometimes tshuva in potential shows up in the strangest of places. Sometimes, and it's good to remember, sometimes, chas v'shalom, a person falls into a yirida, a person falls into a matziv. Remember, this is not natural. This itself is tshuva in potential, and it's a double chizuk. One, this is not you. Two, tshuva is going to be easy for you, because look, you're already doing it in a dark way, in a contrasting way of the way that it's supposed to be used. But if you can activate it in a holy sense, you've already done it. And don't tell me that you're rooted in chet, you can't break free. You're not rooted in chet, because the chet itself was letting go of your essential holiness and getting involved in something else. You see, you can do it. Shuvu banim shayvavim. I just wanted to share that piece setzner with you, because that's mamash the inyan of hadra bi. So I bless us, you know, a'ira shachar. We should be yidden that are constantly yearning, like David HaMelech. We should be yidden that really take Yiddishkeit into our own hands and And mamash shake ourselves awake as much as we can with physical movements and with spiritual, as much as we can, adding onto our learning and our perception and our sagas and our emuna and our thinking, and our putting all these teachings into practice so that our eyes are different eyes. And it's not just you go to a shir, you hear something spiritual and it's inspiring and it's beautiful. You know, mamash, it should be a different world when we finish learning Torah like this. Mamash, a different world, to put it into practice as much as we can, everything we're learning. But here specifically, and if not, we should be zeicha to always remember, hadrabi, tshuva is something you already have. Not only do you already have it somewhere in some, you know, dusty cabinet in the inner recesses of your being, it already manifests in everything that we already need to do tshuva for. And it's the easiest thing in the world to just come home. There's nothing easier. And mamash, I should be about tshuva. I bless myself and all of us. And really the primary bracha that I could give based a little bit on what we learned is really to remember this all the time. We have to be Yidden who are tshuva type A Yidden, you know, who loy dai likach, never become satisfied. Loy dai likach. And again, not in a way that we feel, you know, so broken because we're never getting there. No, we're getting there toich kedei, but we're not sufficing with things as they are. Every opportunity for kedusha, grab it, run after it, hold on to it. Ki heim chayenu va'oyrech yameinu. Soiv davar hakol nishma. Selikim yira. There's nothing else in the world. There's nothing else. Hevel havolim hakol havel. Rishi b'zeichet to be babish. Yidden for real, Rachman Aliba by Jews, Baal Shem Tov Jews, Piyasetzner Chasidim, and Baal Shem Tov Talmidim, Be'ezras Hashem. L'chaim l'bracha, thank you guys for joining me for this teaching, and wishing everybody the most beautiful Lichtig day. We still have 5 more minutes. Does anybody want to add, share, reflect?
Could you explain on what Hadra B is exactly, the language?
Hadra B on a simple level means that the Amora was saying, I recant, meaning I'm taking back my shita, because that's really what I was speaking about.
But the translation.
Hadra means to return. Hadra bi. So in context, it means that I'm recanting my opinion. I said one thing, you had a shayla on it. Okay, hadra bi, fine. I'm removing myself from that. But the Rebbe says, anytime you see return, what's the root of returning? Is tshuva. So Memela, he has all these three levels of understanding. First, Alpipshat, and then Hadra B means more than just recanting an opinion. It means tshuva. And then Gevalt, he says, wow, Hadra B, not just I'm returning. I had tshuva in me all along. I had tshuva in me all along. Okay, Chaver, thank you so much. Have an amazing rest of the week. Be'ezer Hashem, we shall see you on Thursday night, I hope. If the time doesn't work out, it seems, I don't know, sometimes there's not so many chevra that are able to tune in, but I'm telling you, we've been having siyata d'shmaya with those shiurim, something miraculous. I don't know if you've been able to hear, like mamish open gates for that chabura. So and it could be because it's dafka in person, and there are a lot of chevra who come, Baruch Hashem, so that adds to it. It's different than a Zoom shiur, which is also beautiful, but there's a certain energy. If you can make it, we'd love to learn with you then.
Thank you so much, Rebbe. This was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining. Chazdei Hashem. Thank you for joining.
Chazdei Hashem.
Okay, Chevra. All the best. Thank you so much. Kol Tov Heilige Yidden. Thank you for joining.